Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. My prayer is that you are encouraged, transformed, and equipped through each episode. Blessings, everybody. Welcome to the Patty Valenzuela podcast. Super excited for this segment. I've got a special guest. We got Mireia here with us, and she helps us in the backstage of all our social media. So she's the girl backstage behind all our videos. I wanted to talk to you guys today about even just the power of transformation. You know, she told me an interesting story. I never heard of that story, actually. And when you told me that story, I thought it was just pretty important and I think urgent for the body of Christ to see it, being that I just preached this message on Wednesday. So tell them the story that you told me.
Okay. So there's, we all know North Korea is a communist, very dictatorous country.
Yes.
And there was a woman who escaped. She actually survived, because usually if you escape, you know, they kill you. And she escaped, and they took her as a refugee in Japan. But when she was in Japan, she was sold as a sex slave. And they said that she was in sex trafficking, and they asked her, like, why did she leave North Korea? And she said, well, if you've never been hungry at the point of starvation, like, you'd risk death. Death is not worse than that.
Yeah.
And then, so she's as a sex slave, and they finally rescue her. And when they rescue her, they bring her to the U.S., and they told her, like, man, that must have been terrible. The person who was interviewing her, who found out about her being sex trafficking, and she was like, well, it's better than starving. And in my mind, I was like, wow. And so they start asking her about herself, the people who rescued her and brought her to the U.S. They're like, so what's your favorite color? What do you like? And she said her head hurts so bad because she's never had to think for herself. So she said if anybody in that moment would have asked her, like, hey, like, we'll take you back to North Korea if you want, that she would have jumped on it quick, because that she didn't realize until that moment that freedom came with responsibility, having to think for yourself and the responsibility that freedom came
so with. In her mind, she would rather go back.
She'd go back into the dictatorship of North Korea, where everything's chosen, the way what you eat, your job, your life. Literally, you don't have to think for yourself. Your day from the morning you wake up till you go to sleep is already set for you, and that's your everyday life for the rest of your life.
So she comes to the United States, there's freedom.
Oh, yeah.
But she doesn't receive that freedom.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what did that got you thinking?
Well, I just thought, like, man, like, that's why, to me, I was like, man, that's powerful, because so many people, like, in the body of Christ, like, when Jesus died on the cross, we were given freedom. Like, you know, everyone has access to freedom, but you see so many people in the body of Christ who are bound, who are struggling, who are depressed, you know, have all these strongholds, and it's like, well, it comes with the responsibility to be freedom. If you want your deliverance, it's gonna cost you, you know.
Correct.
So that was just, like, to me, it was just mind-blowing, and I was like, man, it's the same way in the body of Christ.
True. There's a lot of people that are or have accepted Jesus, but there's such a bondage.
Yeah.
Now, you asked me a question. I want you to ask the question to the public, and then I'll answer it for you.
So, like, you've mentored, you've ministered, you've pastored and discipled for many years, many different people from different backgrounds, different upbringings. So you've seen, like, I think even you discipling me, I think I was in a moment where I didn't want my freedom, you know? Yeah. So what have you seen through all the different type of people that you've discipled and you mentored? What would you say is the thing that keeps them so holding on to their bondage? To quote you in one of your preachings, you say, like, why are you so loyal to your dysfunction?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Why do people stay loyal to dysfunction? Or why would this woman leave freedom and go back to her bondage? Yeah. Israel did the same thing. They wanted to go back to Egypt when God had a promised land for them. And that's a really deep question. Why do people not change? Why do they not transform? I got to read you your scripture, because I can't do anything without scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, the new creation has come. And it says, the old has gone and the new is here. So there's a lot, to answer your question, a lot of reasons why people do not receive the new of God, and why they do not change, and why they don't transform. Although Jesus, he says, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, a lot of people see that and they think that change is going to be automatic, but change is deliberate. Change does not happen from one moment to the next. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, be transformed. Now, there's a lot of reasons to answer your question as to why somebody does not choose maybe freedom. Why is there so much bondage in the body of Christ? I would say because it's work. It's work to change. That would be one reason. It's work to change. You know, I tell a group of girls that work out with me, I always tell them, you know, nothing is easy. Everything that you want in life is work. That entails work. It entails transformation and change. Entails you to be deliberate, to be intentional, to do something every day to get you towards. So for instance, in that case, the story that you mentioned, this lady needed to renew her mind. And so she wasn't used to that. You know, she thought freedom was going to come automatic. It doesn't. Yeah. Change and transformation, once you have given your life to Jesus, our spirit is renewed. Our spirit is born again. But there's a soul that still needs to go through a transformation and a change. And so it's not like we accept Jesus and then we're automatically like Jesus. So a change has to begin to occur in our lives, and that's deliberate. That is intentional. I also wrote down some things, and I asked myself, over the years, of all the people that I have ministered, why have people not changed? I thought, wow, I can make a whole list of things, probably name you about 100 reasons. Wow. One would be because they're not intentional, they're not deliberate. You know, it's something that you do every single day that's gonna determine where it takes you in the next few months or years. Another reason is I thought of was stubbornness.
Oh yeah.
People are stubborn and they refuse to change. Jesus called them, or God called them, stiff-necked. He said, you are a stubborn people, you refuse to change. I also saw that throughout the years, some people are really just stuck in a dysfunction only because they do not do things with intentionality. In other words, when I get up, I am intentional about the areas that I need to change. Mm-hmm. I can be talking about how I want to change in an area, but if I keep doing the same thing, it's not going to lead me to different results. I also wrote something down. I wrote that freedom has a price tag.
Yeah.
Freedom is not free. You know, there's always sacrifice. So when we live in an incredible nation, and we have freedom here. And so there were a lot of men, and I love to watch war movies with my husband. We continuously watch war movies. We could watch the Pacific, Band of Brothers all day long. But you see the sacrifice that these men paid. And so when you see that, you realize and recognize somebody paid a price. Oh, yeah. There's always a sacrifice to freedom. So anytime you want change or you want freedom in your life, that's going to entail a price tag. You know, some people don't take responsibility. They don't take responsibility for the change that needs to occur. And I think that that's another reason why maybe people don't change. Some people stay stuck, I believe, because they're in old wineskin. And so it kind of goes back to my preaching that I gave on Wednesday, where people stay in an old wineskin. So you can go back and listen to that preaching because that'll change your life. I believe that some people fear the new.
Yeah.
They just don't know how the new is going to be. And I think fear may grip somebody, and then that would prevent them from changing.
So like they're secure.
Correct. And then some people get used to it. They're just comfortable. They're comfortable in they're comfortable in their dysfunction. You know, I always find this is interesting, and I've said it before and I'll say it, that in my own personal life, my frustration as a pastor or as an apostle or somebody who pioneers, my biggest frustration is that sometimes I have wanted better for somebody more than they've wanted it for themselves.
Yeah.
And I have had to step back in some people's lives to say, they're not ready. You have to get tired. You have to be like the woman that bled for so many years to finally come out. I mean, think about all the money she spent, all the doctors that she went to, till she finally heard Jesus was coming and she did something about it. And so I think that a lot of times people, you know, they just get comfortable. They're comfortable with their condition. They're comfortable with their pain. They're comfortable with their trauma. It's possible to get used to being in pain or get used to being in trauma, you know, so they don't want to change. I think a lot of times too is the reason why people is that they tried to change, but then they failed. So they're trying and then they fail at something. So then they just stop trying because they've tried and they failed. I think that another reason would be pride. People don't change because of pride. People just don't change because of pride. Pride is probably the biggest ugly spirits that you could ever carry. Sometimes it's fear. And I got to stop and pause on this one. Sometimes people do not change and don't get transformed because of their atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
They are around the wrong atmosphere. If you want change, you have to get around people that will motivate you, challenge you, and get around an atmosphere of people that you see and they carry or they have where you need to be. So sometimes we get comfortable with our own little circle.
Yeah.
And I've made reference to that sometimes because some people are, you know, they just, you know, they hang around people and you know, I call them like dysfunctional besties. You know, if you all are all dysfunctional, nobody's going anywhere. Oh, yeah. And that's just truth. And you're not going to go anywhere. You've got, if you want fire of God, you're going to have to get on the, in the fire of God. Find people that have already gone where you need to go. You need to get around people that will challenge you, not tell you what you want to hear. So an atmosphere is very, very important. And then I think I've got to end it with this. You cannot change outside of God. Because God is the fountain of change. He's the fountain of transformation. So at times people are trying to change on their own.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying. And we say things like that, right? Yeah, I'm trying. I've tried already. I'm trying. I mean, geez, I'm trying to change. Yeah. Outside of God, you can't change. Because transformation occurs in the presence of God. And so you have to go back to the source. And is that change connected to God? Is that change connected to a God that wants to transform us and change us? We can't transform our minds on our own. Now I'm deliberate in what I do, right? And so I make the necessary adjustments. That may, it may entail sacrifice. That may entail me fasting, you know? So there are things that I deliberately do. But ultimately, the change happens because God brought forth the change. So to answer your question, why are so many Christians bound? Countless reasons. Yeah. Pride, arrogance, all kinds of stubbornness. You're hanging around with the wrong people. Yeah. If you are hanging around with somebody who's struggling in God and you're expecting to not struggle in God, not going to help you. You've got to get around people who are not struggling, who are sad, who are not on the valley of decision, but they've already made a decision to that's serve true. God and give him everything, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's powerful.
So when you came to me
yeah.
and you wanted to change, it was hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were rigid, which is an old wineskin.
Yeah.
And so it really takes somebody to become a new wineskin. I cannot stress to you enough, you're going to have to hear Wednesday's message because that's going to change your life. That's really good.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, think.
What do you want to tell the people?
I think one thing, for me, like how you said, like, you know, I was very rigid. I was in the old wineskin. For me, I just had to take a point where I got tired. And it was just like, I got tired of where I was at. And I had to make the decision and I was deliberate. Like I changed my circle, I changed like even my daily routine. I was just every day just intentional, like just intentional. And accountability, I think, is key.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I just think this, for anybody that's watching me, and if, you know, the shoe fits, wear it. If you don't like where you're at, change it.
Yeah.
There's always a way. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to change. God has given us and equipped us in such a way where we can change. So somebody who has been in the same condition for a year, it's because you want to be there.
Yeah.
If you're stuck in your pain, it's because you just want to be there. No, I don't have anybody to help me. Jesus is right there, right where you're at, and he'll meet you right where you're at. Oh, it's because, you know, so-and-so hasn't done. No, take responsibility. You haven't changed because you have decided not to change. Not anybody else's, you know, mistakes or responsibilities, because nobody ultimately can change us but God. And so the changes, they're available for everybody. And so just like the children of Israel who died in a wilderness, I pray that you won't go back to Egypt. I pray you won't stay in Egypt, but that you'll press on and move to the promises of God, because they're good. They're yes and amen. So thank you for sharing that story.
No, thank you.
I'm sure it's going to be a great blessing to people. So we're going to pray for people. Can we do that? Father, we just come before you and we pray for everybody that is needing change in their lives. Father, be it stubbornness or pride or the wrong circle they're hanging out with, wrong atmospheres. Father, today, or they just become an old wineskin. Father, today we just declare that your people are being ministered to, God, at the sound of our voices. I pray, Father, that you minister, God, the areas that need and require change. You are giving us a window right now so that we can change and be transformed into your image and your likeness. So, Father, we just ask this in the name of Jesus, that your people, God, be convicted, not condemned, but convicted. And the areas that need to be deliberate, Father, that today is the day that they make a decision, Father, that they are going to be deliberate about that change, whatever that means for the people, be it sacrifices that they've got to make, but Father, they make the necessary adjustments so that they can change, no longer in bondage. We break that bondage, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you would like more content, a link to all of our social media will be provided in the description. And as always, subscribe and hit the notification button to get new uploads. And be sure to like and share. Until next time.